Welcome to the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast with Eli Fishman, Stephen Cusimano here with you, and our guest of honor on this week's show, the New York Yankees Director of Baseball Development, Mario Garza, generous enough to chat with us for a few moments during a visit when the Patriots hosted the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, the Mets affiliate, during the second week of August. Mario Garza in his 13th season with the Yankees organization, his fourth as the Director of Baseball Development after spending several years as a coach and a manager in the organization. And we got to know Mario really well last year when he filled in as the Patriots manager for about a week and a half when Dan Fiorito was unavailable. But now it's his fourth season as the Director of Baseball Development. So it's a guy that's working directly with basically every member of the Yankees player development staff, from Kevin Reese all the way down to the various coaches and coordinators and one-on-one advice with the players on a daily basis. So a guy that knows every member of this organization top to bottom very well and was able to provide some really excellent insight for us in a conversation that took place in the second week of August. Grateful enough to have Mario Garza on the podcast, and here is that conversation between Eli Fishman, myself, Stephen Cusimano, and Mario Garza. Our guest on this week's Patriots in Pinstripes podcast is the New York Yankees Director of Baseball Development. That is Mario Garza. Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on, so far, it's been an excellent season organization-wide.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I always look forward to coming to Somerset. It's a beautiful facility, beautiful area, so it's always fun. It's always at the top of my list to be here.
And we've kind of made it to those dog days of summer around August here. So I guess just from your perspective, as we get towards this sort of home stretch of the season, couple of affiliates having already clinched playoff spots, organization-wide, both, I guess, team-wide, independently for certain players, how would you assess the way things have gone so far?
Yeah, that's a big question. I think generally speaking, we're really happy with what's happening. There's a lot to be proud of, a lot to be happy about. Of course, with Somerset clinching, Hudson Valley clinching, the FCL team is in really good shape, and then even Scranton is kind of fighting to get into the playoffs. I think from a team perspective, we're very happy with the success we're having. From when you go department by department, our pitching continues to do really well all the way up and down the org. A lot of the things we look at regarding our effectiveness against opposing hitters, I mean, we're in the top there. We're in the top of our stuff as we look at the pitch, just the nature of the pitcher's stuff, independent of what's happening from the hitters. We're seeing really good things. We're first in strikeout percentage. We're first in miss percentage in minor league baseball, so that's a lot to be proud of. On the offensive side, we are in a lot of the quality of contact and strike zone, you know, control and things that we look at. We are in the top again this year, which has been, you know, we consider very successful. We're very proud of that. So we're going to continue with everything we do on the offensive side. Joe Migliaccio, Sam Breen, they're stars. Those guys kill it. On the defensive side, we have Aaron Gershenfeld as our defensive coordinator. Infield and outfield continues to progress. I mean, we're seeing really good things from a lot of our young guys too, including, you know, Dominguez, including Pereira, guys that are improving their defense. We can get to offense later, but they're really improving our catching. We really value receiving, and that's by a lot of our numbers, we are toward the top, if not in the top spot there, receiving wise. Stolen bases per game, we're number one in minor league baseball right now. So, I mean, just really there's a lot to be proud of, and a lot of the things that we value, we're continuing to excel in those areas.
And you do a lot of bouncing around, obviously, between all the affiliates and your job. You're kind of looking at the organization from a holistic kind of view. So for you, what does a day in the life look like, and what exactly are you doing? How much of it is evaluating the system? How much of it is actually getting into the nitty-gritty and the teaching part?
Yeah, so, really I look at my job as just trying to do anything and everything I can to help our staff be successful, and of course our players as well. I do have a lot of one-on-one interaction with our players. I would say really my role mainly is to try to help, like I said, to be successful, almost like a quality control component. I do evaluate player staff and that type of thing, but really I just try to do everything I can to help them have everything they need. I can be a sounding board for things that they, you know, suggestions they have or things that they might need, and I can help them try to put that into action. So really from a staff standpoint, I'll get on the field and I'll help. But, you know, some of those people I mentioned earlier have such good curriculums in place and such good processes in place that my job really is to just help there and just kind of do everything I can to help them.
And one of those guys you did mention was Jason Dominguez. And we've kind of seen an evolution from where he was at the start of this year, getting on base a lot the entire season. But over this past couple of months, July and August, it seems like he's kind of flipped a little bit of a switch. What have you made of his season so far this year, and what have you maybe seen out of his progression in this still only 20-year-old season?
He's flat impressive. I mean, he's watching him grow has been amazing. In the last 2 days has been as good as I've seen him at the plate. And then also defensively, he's doing some really good things defensively. He's stolen bases. I mean, this guy, he's so special in what he can do, and seeing him mature in a short time. I mean, just seeing him, you know, it's almost like the more we throw at him, the quicker he continues to grow. So that's one thing too. And I just can't speak enough about him and his development, but also him as a person. Like he's a mature kid, very intelligent, work ethic. He really wants to be great. And that's one thing that I think, you know, whenever you're considering a guy that, you know, is he going to be ready for New York? I mean, this guy wants to be great, and he really wants to contribute and wants to win a World Series. And I think that's really exciting that we have him.
Another guy that kind of embodies those same qualities, and we've seen it translate to the big league level now. I think about Anthony Volpe, but just as someone that's you've been involved in the Yankees organization now 13 years, your fourth season in this position, how rewarding or satisfying is it to see homegrown talent, guys like Volpe and the Johnny Britos and guys like that, graduate onto the big leagues and start making a difference there and show that they're not just ready to be big leaguers, but specifically in the Bronx?
No doubt. And I think first things first, that's why we exist. The whole reason we exist is to create guys, you know, to develop guys and create systems and create processes that will help that player to have success in the Bronx. You know, all the way from on the field, off the field, everything we do. And so to see those guys have the success they've had, to see Volpe get up there, I mean, it's incredibly proud moments every time those guys. I mean, just seeing, you know, anybody, whether it's they're there for a couple of days or whether in like Volpe's case, he's been there all year and been a big part of what they've done.
Two of the first things you touched on, one of which was where you rank in terms of all major league systems, in terms of, you know, contact quality, the pitches, all that. The second thing you mentioned was winning, and that Somerset and Hudson Valley have both clinched second half championships. From, you know, that your view in your current position, how much do you value winning throughout a minor league system in terms of development as well?
Yeah, winning's important. I mean, I think that's something that we expect them to do, be able to do in the Bronx. And if you don't have a winning culture, or you don't know what it's like to win, or what it takes to win on the way up, then of course we're setting you up for failure. So I do think that's being able to be successful on the field, and every time we take the field, we want to win the game. Having said that, you know, in player development, our main goal is to develop players, and so it's one of those things. You know, they go hand in hand. I think we will never sacrifice development for the sake of winning. So and sometimes that might be that we will, you know, continue to roll a guy out there, you know, even if he's struggling, to help him, you know, get through a struggle, or help him learn how to deal with that, you know, cases like that. Or on the pitching side, maybe, you know, we will stick with a plan with a pitcher or with a pitching staff where maybe it's wouldn't be necessarily in the best interest of winning at all times. Having said that, we want to put him in the best case for development. I think at the end of the day, we talk about this a lot with managers. If we're the best developers, and we have, you know, these players that are that we sign on the international side and the amateur draft, I mean, we get really good players. So if we get really good players combined with a good development system, we should win.
I was going to say, it feels like over the last 2 years, with manager Dan Fiorito last year, Raul Dominguez this year, they've kind of hammered that point home, is that obviously the player development aspect of it is the premier side of it, but if everyone's developing well, you're going to win a lot of games. And just thinking about how that's obviously the overall goal, how rewarding is it to see this specific affiliate staff? If you could just talk about guys like Jake Hurst, who's been here back-to-back years, including this one, even the base running program run by Aaron Bossy, and defensively, how great things have looked here the past couple of years, and a pitching staff here that's just been setting some of the best marks in terms of strikeouts and innings and everything behind the leadership of Grayson, and obviously we're all in front of all of that. How has it been to see them kind of develop these guys specifically in Somerset?
Yeah, the past couple of years has been an absolute dream. I mean, the staffs that have been here have been tremendous. And I think it's talented coaches carrying out and executing the plan that they've created by our coordinators. And it's been awesome. I mean, if you want to go guy by guy like you did, I mean, Jake Hurst, incredibly talented hitting coach. He's a talented communicator. He's somebody that came in relatively young in his coaching career and has really grown and blossomed to be, you know, one of the best in the game. So Really, really big credit to him and how hard he works. He works very hard to stay on top and to stay at the forefront of anything hitting wise. And as far as an executor of our plan, you know, set in place by Joe Migliaccio, he's been really doing well. Mm-hmm. You know, Grayson, you know, it's really cool to see him from a couple years ago. He's in college and now he's in Double A, and to have the success that he's had. I just left the room where he's doing an after action type meeting with a starting pitcher, and just hearing him talk and the way he communicates with pitchers is second to none. He's fantastic. You know, communicates, and not only and you have to be such a good communicator because he's learning Spanish and he's communicating with people, you know, regardless of where they're from, which is a trait that all of our coaches do really well. And then speaking about Bossy, to see him, what he's done with catching, catchers that have come through here have been very successful. Mm-hmm. Our base stealing plan and base running plan that has happened here. I mean, you know, yes, he does have very, very good equipment to work with. Having said that, he's really worked on a lot of the game polish. I mean, it's not easy to steal bases. It's not easy to be good base runners in Double A. I mean, these pitchers are experienced. They really know what they're looking for. But yet he's found ways to be successful.
We were talking about this on air yesterday, actually. It's not just like two or three guys that are stealing base. I mean, from top to bottom, the entire system, the entire team here has been swiping bags. It's been impressive to see. Yeah. Just thinking about, you know, you go one by one about all those coaches, very different backgrounds, but mention a guy like Grayson just coming out of the college ranks, and how I remember when we had him on the podcast earlier this year, he mentioned that background makes it a little easier for him to communicate to some of the college age pitchers coming out of the draft and things like that. When you think about different perspectives, a guy with Jake Hurst's background, a guy with Bossy's background, a guy like Raul, who's been in the organization for quite some time, how important is it to kind of have that variety of different, I guess, perspectives and mindsets of maybe some former players mixed in with some guys who just played in college and have more of an analytical mindset? How valuable is that to have top to bottom in an organization?
I think it's huge, and this is a perfect example of what we're looking for in a staff. I mean, you have Raul from Panama, played in our system, you know, leading a group. Aaron Bossy played in our system. You know, then you've got, of course, like you said, Grayson and Jake coming from outside of the organization, and then just different backgrounds. I think at the end of the day, we're looking for a diverse background set, and I think that brings strength to different perspectives. Really, at the end of the day, I think as long as we're pulling in the same direction and we're pulling the rope in the same direction, we are, like I mentioned earlier, we're executing the plans that are set forth by our leadership group, and Sam and Joe and Matt Tallarico and Gersh and you know, those guys, you know, the work ethic, the ability to communicate, and if those guys are truly bought into what we're doing and they're truly bought into helping our players get better and using our resources and maximizing everything we have, I think at the end of the day, that's what matters. I think that matters probably more than your background on an individual level. Having said that, we want a bunch of individuals from various backgrounds coming together.
And you've been, obviously, 13 years in the Yankee system, in player development in general. You know, you've been through three farm directors, Mark Newman, Gary Denbo, now Kevin Reese. How much has player development change since you got into it, because we're seeing better and better farm systems, better and better numbers, exit velocities, amount that guys can lift, how hard guys can throw. How much has it changed in general?
It is changed, and I think we've found that we have to adapt. We have to continue to adapt. We have to be, you know, very progressive in the way that we look at things, because, you know, we don't have all the answers, and I think we know that. And you mentioned the three different farm directors. It's changed a lot. It's evolved tremendously. And I give Kevin Reese a ton of credit for the people that he's brought in and for taking risks on certain, you know, which moves at the time seemed risky. And at the end of the day, you know, you look at the talent that he's been able to bring in on the staff side. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, I enjoy working with all of these incredibly bright people and who have, you know, who work so hard to make sure that we're maximizing everything we have. And I think that's, you know, one of the differences. You know, the game is changing. I think to hire a coach, it used to be that you had to play, and it used to be that it used to be the way it's always been, or we can't change things. That's not possible. And I think Kevin Reese has really opened our eyes to see that, man, you can, you know, let's be aggressive in how we attack knowledge. Let's be aggressive in the way we try different things, and let's bring in people, the experts in their area. So, you know, I give Kevin a ton of credit for helping us evolve as an organization.
Coming out of July, too, I mean, you work as closely with as many different people as almost anyone in the Yankees organization, it seems like, and you welcome up a whole new crop of players with the draft every July now is when the draft is. I guess thinking about how much that changes the day-to-day of your life, going from, say, an average week in the life of Mario Garza in April or May versus July or August, how different is this time of year for you when you're welcoming so many new guys to the organization?
Yeah, this is being able to do the draft orientation and to welcome the new guys into the organization is one of my favorite times of the year. I mean, I think it really allows us to kind of just really reflect on why we exist and really get back to the basics of our foundation of philosophies, and it really helps drive the being able to present that and really drives home what we value, and it's a nice refresher. So bringing the guys in from the draft, being able to do orientation, we do that in Tampa, where it's a handful of meetings, but it's also on field kind of showing them how we do things, and then doing that, and then of course kind of graduating them from that and then letting them get on the field and progress into being able to play games. One of my favorite times of the year to kind of watch the guys come in almost deer in headlights, and then in a short time they're Yankees and they're on the field competing with the other guys who have been here for a while.
I want to talk about from the system as a whole. When a guy goes up to a level in their first press conference here in Somerset, one thing they say a lot of the time is you're going to hear the same thing from the coaches that you heard in Tampa, in Hudson Valley. I remember Kevin Reese gave the example on a podcast a couple weeks ago that it's like Chick-fil-A. Everywhere you go, you want to have the exact same thing that you're being told, the same message being pushed across. And as we talked about, there are such a diverse backgrounds of all the coaches and the players throughout the system. How do you keep that, Chick-fil-A approach throughout the system?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's something that is so important to us. I mean, we've heard just different stories and from the past or different organizations, and so we want to make sure that to maintain the integrity of our messaging and maintain the consistency, because I think that's one of the quickest ways to confuse a player or overwhelm a player is, hey, in Hudson Valley, you were doing this, but here we do this. Now that you're never going to hear that. You're going to hear, we talk about the players' goals and their objectives, come up with them like medical records, what they've been through, what they've done. It's, coaches here, Grayson and Jake and Raul, they all have access to everything that coaches have. We track everything that coaches have told them, everything they're working on, to make sure that when they get here, it's just going to be seamless. And I think that Chick-fil-A analogy is something we use that in orientation. We told them that's what's going to be ahead of them. That's what's to expect. So, we want to make sure that our messaging and everything that we do tastes the same and smells the same and have the same general experience regardless of whether you're at Somerset, Hudson Valley, Scranton, or at the complex.
One of those players that's had about as seamless of a transition from Hudson Valley to Somerset to now Scranton is Everson Pereira, and we've heard a lot of comments from around the organization about his major league readiness at this point, a guy that, as he's become healthy, and we were even talking with Joe Migliaccio a couple weeks ago about a very slight change they made to his swing last year during around this time in July of 2022 that really kind of shifted, I guess, the production he was putting out, and obviously played in, I think, just fewer than 100 double-A games, and now he's in triple-A putting up some of the best numbers of his career. What have you seen out of him the last year and a half, 2 years, and just how impressive is it to see what he's doing right now in terms of knocking on the door of a big league call-up?
Yeah, it's fun. He's what a player. I was happy to be with him last week in Scranton, and just watching him, everything he does is impressive. I mean, just from just talking to him, it's impressive. And then you watch him take BP, it's different. And I mean, and he's with big boys. I mean, those are men, and he's able to just, the way the ball comes off his bat and the quick twitch, the hand speed, the bat speed. I mean, goodness gracious, this guy is fun to watch. And then to see him in a game competing, it's awesome. And I remember, so I have seen him, I remember sitting in my office in the Dominican Republic back when he signed, and one of the first days he was there, and we sat down and he was telling me about his background, and he was telling me that, that he wanted to be great and that he was focused on playing in the big leagues. And it's, a lot of people will say that, but yet it's really cool to see him actually being able to do it and to be able to put it into practice. And he's a very serious kid. He's very motivated to be the best he can be. And it's been awesome, especially the last couple of years, like Joe said, that he's always, he's able to make the adjustments quickly, and he's able to take new challenges and have success. And we saw it a couple of years ago when he went from Tampa to Hudson Valley, and then he went last year from Hudson Valley here, and then now, of course, to Scranton. So we're seeing a kid that's, could have a successful and a really exciting career.
the Yankees at the big league level right now are around that 500 mark. And, I mean, I don't think it's a secret that they've been struggling a little bit as of late. And when they do struggle, fans often say, okay, who can we bring up? And, I mean, you look at a Scranton team that has had a lot of success on the pitching side, on the offensive side, the last few weeks, all throughout the system. How would you evaluate it as a whole in terms of what people can expect from the minor leagues in the future at the big league level and potentially very soon for the New York Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say who's next and things like that, but yeah, we mean our goal is to get the guys like, you know, the Everson Pereiras and the Austin Wells and the Jason Dominguez's. I think, you know, those guys are obviously in that conversation. I mean, I think they have to be. And then on the pitching side, it was awesome to see Randy get there, and, you know, hopefully he can continue to have success up there. Had a really good start earlier, but you know, I think that's our goal. Like I said, that's why we exist. So we're going to do anything and everything we can to help Jason prepare and be ready, to help Everson prepare and be ready. And you know, I mentioned Austin. I mean, like I said, I was with him last week too, and it's great to see him competing at the AAA level. I think, you know, he's, you know, dying to get there, working hard. And I think, you know, those are guys that I know, and we see him being brought up from time to time, but I think those are a few guys that I'm excited about.
And we currently have five catchers on the Somerset roster, but they're not all catchers because they've all been rotating positions. You know, Ben Rice at first. We now got Augustine Ramirez at first. We've seen Anthony Siegler, Mickey Gasper at second. When we see those kinds of position changes, how do those conversations go when, you know, we have guys that have been catchers their whole life, and now because of that depth, all of a sudden they're being moved around? Are those conversations at your level? Are those at the manager level? How do those go about, and how do, you know, those decisions be placed into action?
Yeah, so Kevin, Eric, myself, and then with the positional coordinator, whether it's, you know, it's Aaron Gershenfeld or Fiorito or Ryan Hunt, we will have those conversations first, but, you know, as we're moving a player, and then kind of just try to take that player's skill set and try to find an opportunity for them to fit in, you know, try to plug in best as possible. And I think that's why you'll see, I mean, it's kind of a good problem to have, that we have so much, you know, AA ready talent, and we have guys going to AAA and things, and trying to find, you know, we did it with Narvaez and Duran earlier in the year over there as well. So once we kind of make that decision, we try to paint the picture of what it's going to look like. Then I'll go to the manager and we'll talk about, you know, hey, let's start getting, you know, making sure, you know, so-and-so is ready to play some first base, or so-and-so is ready to play second base. And we know it's going to be a jump, but, you know, and then really it goes back to the foundation piece. We have the core curriculum that it takes, and we have the foundation of what a second baseman does or what a first baseman does, and then we just kind of start chipping away and helping that player prepare to be able to tackle that, you know, whatever that role is. But in this case here, we recently moved up Augustine and Rice, and they've been, I mean, they've earned their promotion. They've earned the right to play and right to get at bats at AA level. And so, guys, it may not be fair, you know, kind of like we talked to the players, like, you don't have to necessarily like this decision. It may not even be fair, but here's where we're at. And so I think Raul does a heck of a job of being transparent with the player. Here's where you stand. Here's what we got for you. You know, let's attack this, you know, to the best we can, and we're going to see what we can do. The other thing is, which you always have to keep in mind, that nothing's ever final. I mean, you know, it could be, we could move a guy up. We could, you know, of course, the deadline was coming up. We could trade guys. I mean, there are unfortunate injuries. So, you know, the player always has to stay ready to based on whatever their role is.
Well, it's been really impressive to see from our seat just the versatility, the overall production, and getting to start to see some of these guys in the big leagues, whether it be this year, next year, or any time in the future. It's really exciting. But, Mario, thank you so much for the insight and all of the words today, and it's been a blast having you on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Really great stuff. Again, Mario Garza, Yankees Director of Baseball Development, thank you so much for taking the time. Really good insight up and down the organization, from the decisions that are made, the conversations that are had with the draft picks, the players on a daily basis, and even the coordinators about making those positional changes, and the overall philosophy of that kind of Chick-fil-A mentality of hearing the same thing from top to bottom. That is a big piece of what Mario Garza preaches up and down the Yankees organization in grooming these future Yankees to eventually graduate onto the big leagues and set them up for success. And already starting to see some of the players like Anthony Volpe, Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito become regulars in the big leagues for the Yankees, and even many more to come in the near and distant future. Hear him talk very highly of guys like Everson Pereira, Austin Wells, Jason Dominguez, and Mario Garza, a guy that plays a pivotal role in shaping these guys into future big leaguers on a daily basis throughout the grind of a full minor league season, and just a guy that really works so hard out of the Yankees complex in Tampa and is constantly visiting all the affiliates, all different areas of the country, and just providing some really great insight and a look at the kind of the decisions and conversations that are had on his level around the Yankees organization. So a big thanks to Mario. Thank you to my on-air partner, Eli Fishman. And for the rest of us with the Somerset Patriots, I'm Stephen Cusimano saying so long for now on this edition of the Patriots and Pinstripes podcast as we inch closer towards the playoffs, entering the home stretch of the season. Hard to believe only two homestands left in the regular season before playoff baseball commences at TD Bank Ballpark on September 21st. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.